From the best-selling Heroes of History series, Emerald Books presents Billy Graham, America's Pastor, by Janet and Jeff Benge. Read for you by Tim Gregory. For information about other titles from this outstanding series that brings history to life, please visit emeraldbooks.com or call 800-922-2143. Chapter 1. On the Farm.
Billy Frank, someone's here to take you and your sister home. You're dismissed.
Billy Frank looked at his teacher. Could this be true? Class had just returned from morning recess, and now he and his sister Catherine were being picked up to go home? Billy Frank frowned. Nothing like this had happened before in his 12 years of life. Had something gone wrong at the farm? Were his parents all right? The eyes of the other students in the class were fixed on Billy Frank as he picked up his lunch pail and walked out of the classroom. Catherine, who was 2 years younger, looked concerned as she joined her brother at the Woodlawn School gate.
"Look, Reese is here to get us," Catherine said, referring to their father's right-hand man on the farm. "What do you think has happened?"
Billy Frank shrugged his shoulders.
"I hope it's nothing bad."
When the Model A Ford came to a halt in front of them, the two Graham children climbed in. Billy Frank took the front seat beside Reese Brown.
"What's happened, Reese?"
Billy Frank asked as they pulled away from the school. Reese reached out his large black hand and tousled Billy Frank's sandy blonde hair.
"I reckon it's all right to tell you," he said. "You'll find out soon enough. The doc just visited and says your grandmother has only a few hours to live."
Billy Frank watched the rolling hills of Mecklenburg County, North Carolina, go by as he took in the news. His mother's mother, Grandma Coffee, was the only grandparent he'd known. The others had died before he was born. He liked his grandmother. She was old and often talked about the war. The American Civil War, not the Great War in Europe that had ended the same week Billy Frank was born.
"Don't worry. She's on her way to heaven,"
Catherine said with the matter-of-factness of a 10-year-old girl. Billy Frank nodded. He knew quite a bit about heaven. His older sister Margaret had died as a baby, and his mother often talked about how they would all be reunited one day. For a boy his age, Billy Frank had certainly heard enough sermons on the subject. Each Sunday morning, his family attended the Associated Reformed Presbyterian Church, 5 miles away in Charlotte. There, the Reverend Lindsay preached sermon after sermon without ever smiling. Sometimes Billy Frank wondered why Mr. Lindsay hadn't decided to become an undertaker instead of a minister. He certainly had the temperament for it. Billy Frank had been thinking a lot lately about how things at church were so dreary. The only songs they sang were psalms set to music. Even though he was leader of the youth group, Billy Frank hadn't been able to find a way to make that interesting either. He also realized that his mother was more interested in Christianity than his father was. His mother, Morrow Graham, was the one who made the children get ready for church and sit still during the service. And if the family could not attend church on Sunday night because the cows had to be milked, she would gather Billy Frank, Catherine, and their younger brother Melvin together around the kitchen table and read them a Bible story. As the Model A turned the corner onto Park Road, Billy Frank craned his neck to see whose car was parked outside their 2-story brick house. He could see his Uncle Tom's Buick and another car that he did not recognize. Although Billy Frank knew he should be feeling sad, he was also secretly happy when he thought about all the cousins who would gather for the funeral. The Graham family lived on 300 acres of gently rolling farmland, which his father and uncle had inherited from their father. Billy Frank hoped he would have time to take his cousins into the woods to show them his Tarzan hideout. Catherine laughed at his attempts to swing from vines, but Billy Frank felt he was getting closer to perfecting his technique. When the car pulled to a stop in front of the house, Billy Jr., Billy Frank's big red goat, came running out to meet them, followed by a gaggle of curious geese herded by 6-year-old Melvin.
"Grandma's very sick. They think she's going to die,"
Melvin said as Billy Frank unwound his tall, thin body from the front seat.
"We know,"
Billy Frank said.
"Reese told us."
The 3 Graham children climbed the front steps of the brick farmhouse, where their mother waited by the front door. She gave Billy Frank and Catherine each a hug.
"Grandma's near the end of her earthly journey. It's time to say goodbye,"
their mother said, guiding the children toward the back bedroom. In the bedroom lay Billy Frank's grandmother. She was breathing lightly, and her mouth gaped open. Billy Frank reached out and held her bony hand.
"It won't be long," his mother said.
In fact, Lucinda Coffey continued to breathe lightly, stopping every now and then, until late into the night. Billy Frank and his parents were in the room when the end came. All at once, the calm mood was broken when Billy Frank's grandmother sat bolt upright as if she'd been struck by lightning. She declared,
"I see Jesus. He has his arms outstretched toward me. And there's Ben. He has both of his eyes and both of his legs. They're coming for me."
She smiled and reached out her arms, and then lay back on the pillow, dead. Billy Frank sat in silence. He felt as if he had been struck by lightning himself. It seemed incredible that his grandmother had seen Jesus along with his dead grandfather. Billy Frank would have liked to have seen him too. Granddaddy Benjamin Coffey was a legend in the area. With the rank of sergeant, he fought against the Yankees with Pettigrew's Brigade, part of the 11th North Carolina Regiment. The regiment had led the advance on Gettysburg from the west. In the ensuing fighting, Billy Frank's grandfather had been struck in the left leg with shrapnel. As he lay bleeding on the battlefield, a bullet grazed his right eye. He was taken to a field hospital and covered with a quilt that his Aunt Hattie now profoundly displayed in her living room. Benjamin Coffey had survived the ordeal, but his left leg was amputated, and he went blind in his right eye. Billy Frank wished he'd known Granddaddy Coffey, who had died 2 years before Billy was born. But now, apparently, Grandma Coffey had seen him again, all fixed up with his leg regrown and his right eye working, coming with Jesus to get her. His grandmother seeing his grandfather just as she died was a lot to take in, but Billy Frank did not doubt it was true. Lucinda Coffey had been a staunch Presbyterian who never lied, even about the smallest of things. If she saw Billy Frank doing anything wrong, she always reminded him that God was watching. And now she was in heaven. As Billy Frank lay in bed that night, he couldn't shake the image of his grandmother seeing both Jesus and her husband. Everything he'd been taught from the Bible was really true. He felt relieved, as he'd always been a little afraid of death. His mother had taught him the prayer, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, bless me, Lord, my soul to take." And every time he recited the prayer, Billy Frank felt nervous. He knew the words were intended to comfort a child, but they always made him wonder whether he would awake the next morning and where he might end up if he did not. Following the funeral service on a cool morning in March 1931, the body of Grandma Lucinda Coffey was laid to rest beside her husband's in the churchyard of Steel Creek Presbyterian Church. Knowing that his grandmother was in heaven now made it easier for Billy Frank as he watched her coffin lowered into the red dirt. After the funeral, Billy Frank and his cousins had plenty of time to practice their Tarzan stunts before Billy Frank had to milk the cows. This was a chore Billy Frank did every morning and afternoon, 7 days a week. He didn't mind the afternoon milking so much. He did that when he got home from school and needed some exercise after sitting at a desk all day. It was the morning milking that proved the most difficult, mainly because it involved waking up at 2:30 a.m. Billy Frank was never ready to get up at that time, but his father was always up by then and expected his son to get straight up and do his chores. After dressing, Billy Frank would head out of the house to wake Pedro, one of the farmhands, before going to the milking shed where another farmhand already had the cows lined up in the stalls. Billy Frank would take his three-legged stool and metal pail and begin his task of milking 20 of the cows. 2 hours later, he would be finished milking, and then it was time to shovel away the manure and feed the cows fresh hay. This was followed by the only part of this morning routine that Billy Frank really enjoyed: breakfast. While the men were milking the cows, Morrow Graham and the maid chopped firewood, heated the stove, and cooked a hearty breakfast for them all. By the time Billy Frank made it to breakfast, he was always ready for a big helping of the grits and gravy, eggs, bacon, and rolls his mother had cooked. He washed it all down with a glass of fresh milk. Having arisen so early, Billy Frank often had trouble concentrating on his schoolwork by the time morning recess rolled around. All he wanted to do was to sleep. Luckily, a good game of baseball at lunchtime would revive him for his afternoon classes. Soon after Grandma Coffee's death, Billy Frank learned that there would be an addition to the Graham clan. At 40 years of age, his mother was going to have another baby. Jean was born in the spring of 1932. At first, Billy Frank found it difficult to think of her as his sister. He was now 13, and he calculated that he would leave home before Jean even got to first grade. Just weeks after Jean's birth, tragedy struck the Graham family. Billy Frank was at school when once again he was pulled out of class. This time it was not Reese Brown who came to collect him, but Pedro. "What's happened?" Billy Frank asked Pedro as he climbed into the car. Pedro shook his head and lowered his eyes.
"It's your father."
Billy Frank felt panic rise in his throat.
"Daddy? Is he dead?"
"No," Pedro said, "but he is in very bad shape."
"What happened?"
Catherine asked from the back seat.
"Your father went into the wood shop to talk with Reese. Reese was using the mechanical saw to cut wood and turned around to hear what your daddy was saying. Must have loosened his grip on the wood because the saw kicked up the wood and it hit your daddy square in the jaw."
"Is he at home?"
Billy Frank asked. Pedro shook his head.
"Took him straight to the hospital."
The rest of the way home, Billy Frank stared out the window at the rolling fields of alfalfa. Random thoughts rushed through his head. What if his father died? Who would help Uncle Clyde run the Graham Dairy Farm? Would he have to leave school as soon as he turned 14 to milk the cows? How would his mother go on without his daddy? To calm his thoughts, Billy Frank began to recite the Westminster Catechism to himself. It was something his mother had required he learn before his 10th birthday, 107 questions and answers. By the time they reached home, Billy Frank was up to the 38th question. What benefits do believers receive from Christ at the resurrection? Answer: at the resurrection, believers, being raised up in glory, shall be openly acknowledged and acquitted in the day of judgment, and made perfectly blessed in the full enjoying of God to all eternity. As the car pulled to a halt, Billy Frank felt a chill go down his spine. Was that God's way of telling him his father was about to die and go to heaven? Inside the Graham farmhouse, the news was grim. Billy Frank's father lay in a coma in the hospital. His jaw had been shattered into many pieces, and his head was cut open nearly to his brain. He had lost so much blood that he'd almost bled to death on the way to the hospital in the back of the old GMC truck. The next week was pure agony for Billy Frank, who paced around the barn, begging God to save his father. His mother summoned her friends, and all day long prayer meetings were held in the house for Frank Graham's recovery. Sometimes the doctors sounded hopeful. Other times, they talked about death being a mercy, since Frank would surely suffer brain damage if he lived. By the end of the second week, the tide turned, and Frank's condition began to improve. It was a long, slow recovery, but after some time, Billy Frank's father came home from the hospital and was able to do light duties around the farm. In time, he made a full recovery, though Billy Frank had to get used to his father's face looking different. Frank's jaw had been set a little crooked, and he had several deep scars on his face. But there was something else different about him. Frank Graham had become much more interested in spiritual things. Although the Graham family always went to church together, Billy Frank got the impression that this was more his mother's doing than his father's. But now, things had changed. Frank Graham invited a group of Christian businessmen to hold a prayer rally on the farm. When he invited Billy Frank to join him at the prayer meeting, Billy Frank made an excuse. The last thing a teenage boy needed was for people at school to learn that he was hanging out with holy rollers. Later that night, Billy Frank overheard his father telling his mother how a man named Vernon Patterson had prayed at the prayer rally and asked God to raise up out of the Charlotte area someone to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. Billy Frank wasn't so sure there was such a person in all of North Carolina, let alone the Charlotte area. When Billy Frank was 15, his parents urged him to go with them to hear a visiting preacher named Dr. Mordecai Ham. Catherine and Melvin dutifully agreed to go with their parents, but Billy Frank had no interest in getting caught up in religious things. That changed when a friend of Billy Frank's, Albert McMacken, informed him that some of the students from Central High School in Charlotte were going to picket Mordecai Ham's meeting.
"They say the preacher has no business telling them how to live their lives in this day and age. Prohibition's been lifted, and it's time to let people enjoy themselves. Don't you want to come along and see what happens?"
Albert asked. Billy Frank thought for a moment. Maybe he had misjudged the situation. Perhaps there would be more action at the meeting than at home.
"Come on," Albert urged. "Dad's been letting me drive the old vegetable truck into town. If you come, I'll let you drive."
That was all the encouragement Billy Frank needed. He'd get to see the high school students and the preacher in a showdown, and he'd drive the farm truck there and back as well. How could he resist?